listening to KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. And it's a little after 11 p.m. It's time for the Vibrational Voyage program. Thanks for tuning in, or perhaps just being here by accident. You're welcome to stick around either way. Got a live discussion for you tonight. My old buddy Tiger Windwalker, who's one of the folks who I can coax in here live into the studio on Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. He's here tonight, and Amit's here. He's hanging out. He just finished the Orient Express, which happens Tuesday nights from 10 until 11 p.m. Of course, you were just listening to it if you're still hanging over from Orient Express. This program deals with the exploration of consciousness, the nature of things, the nature of existence, and also the dynamics at work in the processes of growth and change that are natural parts of our existence. We kind of play around and explore in those realms, and we're not just all serious all the time. We certainly like to have some fun. And Tiger's a good guest for both the profound part of the quotient and also the fun part of the quotient, I'm very happy to say. And I feel blessed to have you here tonight, Tiger. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, and I always look forward to this is another one of these funny deals where I've flown all day long from the East Coast, and I think a couple of months ago I flew all the way from Hawaii.
So that's like the same night.
It's kind of like being like a rose delivery service, like bringing the nice, fresh, crisp winter roses from upstate New York back to San Jose.
Yeah, bringing some of the East Coast energy back here with you tonight. Well, and when you travel, you notice different things. I definitely notice it in Hawaii. It feels like as soon as I get off the plane, there's a different atmosphere. Not just the humidity either. There's a different energy, a different vibe that seems to be present there. What'd you notice when you were in New York?
Well, New York is kind of inherited for me. I never thought I would end up going to New York. But when I married my wife, her mom lives in Schenectady. So it was kind of like my wife's always been bi-coastal. So now I'm just tagging along. But what happened, and I only ever go there in the winter. So all the travel agents are going to be chagrined, you know. Who could possibly talk about having a positive experience with a place you should never go at that particular time of the year? But somehow it got under my skin, and I now have a very nice, mainly because I have a second mom. My mother-in-law is my second mom because my birth mom passed on, but I ended up getting a second mom. Now, when you marry a person who's also a Gemini rising, this is part of what you're going to get. You know, everything is, you're going to have two of everything, or you'll be bi-coastal or whatever, bipolar, who knows. But anyway, so I have this Marge DiNuccio's, my second mom, so I go out and hang with her, and she's really easy to hang with, you know. And I like New Yorkers, too, because they say what they think, but they also have a heart they're willing to wear on their sleeve. So I think that was one particular thing that was so hard about 9/11 is that it happened in a place where, you know, people really have big hearts. And it kind of showed us what it's like to suffer. When you have a big heart, you know, I was thinking this, that, you know, so many people are saying, well, I've doing my practices, and I've been working on expanding my consciousness now for many, many years. And, you know, my goal is to become enlightened. You know, a lot of people are like that, you know. So what would happen if you found out that enlightenment just meant becoming more part, you know, of the world, becoming more engaged in it and giving more? And what would happen if your heart was so big because you were participating so fully that you would have to experience all the pain too that comes with heartbreak? You see, this is the irony, is that what we're seeking, we already have. And all we need to do is really invest ourselves more fully into the experience. And I guess going to New York, I was willing and open to invest myself in there, into that part of our country and the people there, and there were dividends there. I imagine if you live an open life and a heartful life, it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to connect in such a way that you feed that love and that desire to nurture and the childish curiosity. It'll all be fed. So again, while many people are sidetracked on advanced courses and becoming enlightened, really, everything we need is right here before us right now, in this moment.
Yeah. Well, what you're pointing to resonates for me, you know, with the whole thriving energy. It's like when springtime comes, everything blooms, right? You know, the goodness of the sun and the rain fall on everything. And so there's... when this thriving thing is happening, it's everything arising together. It's a blessing that's going everywhere at once. And that capacity to live and thrive with everything seems to be a hidden, inherent, powerful connection and resonance. You know, when Jesus talked about be as the lilies of the field, there was something hidden in that little message that kind of escapes us, and yet it's said to be perhaps his most profound teaching. Maybe we're just now getting to the point where we can actually appreciate and recognize what that's about. We couldn't imagine it because it refers to something that's beyond imagining. It's beyond ideas. It's beyond even most of our current experience. It's just something greater. There's a greater resonance there.
I have a little poem about that.
Do you
want to hear it?
I'd love to.
I'm just, some of these gems I'm digging up out of the computer. But love. Love is like the sun, forever our companion, whether behind the clouds or the darkened earth. Its radiance is true and can only be temporarily forgotten. The birds know this. They celebrate each new day with morning songs of inspiration. Are you listening? And I want to share something else here. So... notebook paper is always an issue for me, and when I'm in restaurants, I'm notorious for stealing napkins and writing poems. I have a whole set of poetry written on napkins. But today it was my novel, and I just looked for the blank spaces, and when I was up there in the, at 40,000 feet, you know, looking down upon the earth, I had a few things that came through. There was the Aquarian connection there. So I was up high enough that the antennae was picking up a more refined signal. So I want to share some of this. And maybe we can talk a little bit from this space, too, if you'd like, Tony. Let's just see if it, what this triggers. And we might even be able to work this into some of our astrological considerations, too.
Cool.
So from 40,000 feet, I'm looking down, and from high in the sky, the earth of humans seems to be a grid network of north to south and east to west. is this the best we can expect from organic intelligence? And so, you know, I think I know human beings pretty good. So when I go up to 40,000 feet and I look down and I say, yeah, you know, man, why? You know, surveyors run the show, you know, and all our communities are laid out on these grids. And but why does it have to be so apparent? Can't they just keep it at the, the county recorder's office? But no, we have to etch it in the earth. But I was thinking, well, what would happen if, you know, we have advanced extraterrestrial races that are patrolling around, and what happens when they come into, maybe it's not 40,000, oh, maybe it is, or 60,000 or 80,000 feet, and they look down and they see that, and they don't know anything about human beings, but they see the grid, and then what kind of conclusions do they come to on the basis of what we're exhibiting, what we're showing? You know, and is that commensurate with the organic intelligence that we're blessed with to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I think this is some of the rub we got going. Some of the rub that we've had with Saturn opposition Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
These are planets that are still, after 2 years of Tony and I talking about these things, these planets are still predominant in symbolically and astronomically in our lives right now, with more to come and coming from many different quarters. So that was something that crossed my mind. Now let me just read one other thing and then I'll let you comment, because this was immediately after that I wrote something else that I think should be just put into the equation. Okay, here we go. When I was a kid, we called people squares who lived preponderantly through rectilinear intelligence. It still holds true today. And so I got, you know, when in the 60s, we talked, you know, you're square, man. You're not cool. You're just square. Well, from 40,000 feet, anybody, any observer is going to think we're square, too, because that's all you see. You just see square. It's just so square. Rectilinear intelligence. Rectilinear intelligence would be the course, would live on the corresponding Saturnine pole, whereas quantum intelligence or multi-dimensional intelligence would be over on the Uranian pole. So we have the beginnings of a conversation here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it hits me with the whole holographic fractal kind of vibe to it, because the type of analysis and concentration that we're focused upon when we're doing that rectilinear thing, it kind of breaks things down and singles them out and focuses on differences, you know, for the sake of precision. And that more organic approach, the more experiential approach, so instead of measuring it all and trying to figure it out first, we're just having the direct experience of it, the more organic experience, that has that living connectedness, thriving fractal feel to not only its own energy and expression, but it's what it's all connected with. So you see the Earth all connected with the Sun, and we do scientifically, we recognize that, and you see the Sun connected ultimately with the galaxy. We can see that. I mean, even just in a physical sense, we can see it. And so even at the most basic observable level, fractal nature or fractility, it's not a word, but I like it. I like the expression of it, a fractility. That's something we start to have our own experience of, our own direct experience. And that is a revelation to our relationships and also to our sense of what we are. You know, suddenly now we're not just rectilinear analytically segmented. Now we're organically, thrivingly connected and joined. That, to me, seems like a big, exciting part of what's present here, and it seems kind of resonant with what you were
talking about. Well, simply to know that you can be halfway around the world in one day.
Yeah.
And not only that, 40,000 feet off the ground, 20,000 feet, taking off, landing. There are so many different perspectives. We have the capacity to have so many different perspectives, which kind of begs the question toward fractality or multidimensionality, because I can be here at ground level and read you a poem about 40,000 feet and feel it. So, you know, what I find interesting is if we start from the single point, just the dot, yeah, and then we have the first linearity, we have the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
I believe line is the first dimension, either the dot or the line. I'm not going to get real picky. But when you get to a square or a rectangle, then you become planar, and that's the second dimension.
Yeah.
A plane is the second dimension. It's more than a line.
Yeah.
And it heads off in multitude of directions,
right,
but only in a plane.
Yeah.
Then the third dimension, then you have the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
You can have one additional point off the plane and creates three dimensionality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, of course, way back when, 2,500, 5,000 years ago, they made the pyramids, because it's kind of the bellwether of this age that we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I think, and I don't know if there's any astrology to, you know, to corroborate this, it would have to come through a Neptunian connection, which we do have one right now. And again, maybe we need to be talking about more subtleties and stuff. But for me, I feel like where we're going is the fourth dimension, that we are on the cusp of the fourth dimension, and our people like us are basically going to be dimension leapers. We're going to take our, you know, approach run in this dimension, and then we're going to jump and we're going to land in the other dimension. So what does Tiger Windwalker think that dimension is? That's where we're connected at a feeling state with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is another word for communion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to make it even more interesting, when you take all those different dimensions and you play with them, you see you've got a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got all the manifestations in a crystal.
Yeah.
So there is, my question is, is it possible that we can take the pure mathematical experience,
mm-hmm,
and intersect it with a pure experience of communion and somehow put religion and science together into a totally new place?
Well, one of the ways that this speaks is that place of togetherness, connectedness, communion. That's kind of like part of a pattern. Think of it like, you know, the vertical aspect of a tree, you know, or medicine wheel, or this is something that you and I kind of explore. Well, then there's also the greater expanse. If you think of the center line, then you have what radiates in the horizontal dimension. And there's an element of something that speaks in there. You know, there's communication that comes. You have communion. The natural thing that comes is a resonance, a movement, an energy that moves as a result. Well, to me, that's where that whole scientific thing might start from. But it's a heartful science, just like it's a heartful poetry that comes in a resonance with that communion as well. So whether it's art or science or some blend of them. Whatever it is, it's heartful and it's resonant, and you can feel the resonance. You feel it. So when the truth speaks in the science, you feel it. When the truth speaks in the song, in the poem, it's evident. You feel it directly. Not something you think about. It's something you directly feel in your heart is what tells you.
Well, what you're doing is answering the question that came from my first expression or written thing.
Yeah.
Because I was high in the sky and looking at the grid network and was all square. And is this the best that we can expect from organic intelligence? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did hear it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great, but I was closing the door when
oh, no, but I'm just showing the continuity that we're, folks, you know, you think that maybe we're spaced out here. We're not. We know exactly where we're going here. As soon as we start, then we know, right? It's like Tony and I, we know how to jump into the Tao of conversation and being together. You know, it's great to have a friend that, and we can do this in a lot of different contexts too.
Yeah.
But the adventure you can have with a friend who just can jump into the Tao of the moment and be in the flow is a wonderful thing. It's a friendship, partnership, all wonderful stuff. So anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this fourth dimension idea. But here, I'm going to read the third thing now I wrote down today.
Yeah.
So that this, I didn't, you know, see a connection to all this, but it seems that one's happening here. We're wielding one. Digital intelligence of ones and zeros is not organic intelligence. A whole new frontier of artificial intelligence awaits us, based on the knowingness of life forms. Now, I don't exactly know where that came from. I'm not a scientist, but I'm smart enough to know that whatever we're doing with ones and zeros it's going to have a ceiling. Or it's going to lack the dimensionality we just spoke about.
Exactly.
So our whole way of knowing—that's this could turn out to be a cosmic joke for us to get involved in the cyber world and suddenly find that we need to shift, that we need to drop it and go into the world where feelings are merged and other dimensions are coexistent.
Yeah.
In this incredible, rich, 360 degree spherical experience of being engaged and involved in life with all your senses highly attuned, your heart wide open, which means you're going to hurt when something bad happens. You're going to hurt like a human being. All of that stuff, all of those qualities, fully engaged and fully developed. And perhaps that's something about the potential we are talking about. For us,
the knowingness of sentient beings, what was it?
Yeah. Okay, let me read it again. Digital intelligence of ones and zeros is not organic intelligence. A whole new frontier of artificial intelligence awaits, based on the knowingness of life forms.
That's experience.
Yeah.
And it seems to me the great work that's going on here, there is an art form. There is, some have referred to it as a tapestry that is the work and the byproduct of everything that we're weaving here in experience. It struck me this last summer that time is like a living cocoon woven of every texture of experience.
Yeah.
And that is also a connection that, of course, your heart is where that becomes revealed. Your heart's the place that you're open or not open, the place of perspective where you find what you can relate to, breathe with. Well, there's there's a connectedness through experience to all living beings. And that's fractal then too. Experience is fractal. The heart itself is fractal. And that seems to be a big part of the magic that's going on here. And it relates to these transits as well. So I think you probably have something that you're got your finger on there.
Well, this is just going to end it up because, yeah. I mean, I'd like to talk more about this, particularly about how we're going to bring the astrological indicators about scientific advancement and how we're going to also find the place in our current transits where the spiritual, the soulful side of us grows at the same time. So there's like this incredible impetus that if all of us are really connected and not listening to corporate news, but I mean, if all of us are connected with our experience right now and we're paying attention and we're open to feel how things are going, we all know that the American dream is dead. Okay, so what's the first thing is, you know, okay, what are we going to do now? what next? You know, we should give him a good funeral, you know? We should, you know, make it a feast or something. But we're moving so fast now that I think we'll just take the body and we'll roll it over a cliff in Big Sur and just ride down into the breakers. But the question arises, you know, the American dream is dead. Now what's next? And if that, is happening on a planetary level, then we have to see our community of, participants in this whole dialogue as being much larger. Let me read this last thing because it goes with it. And then I'm going to close the book on the flight today.
Okay.
Human civilization is much smarter than it appears to be. Only the actions of humans would lead an observer to believe that the species comes up short on intelligence. You get that one?
Give me the last part of it again, because okay. I was adjusting the.
So now, music. When I'm making a statement, and then this could either be Albert Einstein, you know, reviewing all of the, you know, incredible inventions and creations, or could be the guy at 40,000 feet looking down. Maybe he's a little more perceptive than we thought. And so the first statement is very noble for us. Human civilization is much smarter than it appears to be. Okay, now here's the rejoinder from the grizzled old veteran. Only the actions of humans would lead an observer to believe that the species comes up short on intelligence.
Only the actions.
Yeah. So, and this is another, now we're back to the potential again, and that's why I can finish up my book here, and I'm closing the book now. It was a good book, too, on that. But here we're back to potential again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether we want to be satiric about it or bitter or whatever, it's like, you know, or compare it to, you know, Barack Obama, you know, it's still, you know, well, there, it's still that we do come up short.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. And we come up short. I think a lot of times we come up short because we don't believe in ourselves.
Exactly. And there's these other dimensions. Of course, in all honesty, we come up short because there's more to the story. And that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. I'm going to take a quick pause for a minute here. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Vibrational Voyage program on KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. I'm your host. My name's Tony. And I have a live guest this evening in the studio with me who is Tiger Windwalker. And that's his website, too. You can go get more information about Tiger's work, connect with him, and check out his poetry. And he's very active on Twitter, doing poetry on Twitter. So that's fun. If you're already on there, you could follow him. And
that's at Coyote Dolphin.
At Coyote Dolphin. Twitter.com / at Coyote Dolphin. Or,
right.
or just Coyote Dolphin, probably.
Yeah, that'll if you do a search, that'll get you there.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, check him out because he's a lot of fun and there's stuff that's going on every day there. All right. Well, let's pause for just a moment here and have an announcement for you. I do not acknowledge the contributions of my friends nearly enough. More gratitude is always, always valuable. And one that I need to express great thanks for right now is Kenny and Robert. This music comes to me as a result of them. It was literally, you know, a gift handed to me. And I've been using this music quite a lot, because it's good music and also because it's something that I find just really valuable and complementary to what we do here. The CD is called Entropy, local artist and local publishing. And the artist, the CD is entitled Entropy, and the artist is 808. I hope I have that correct. Friends of mine, I'm pretty sure I got it correct. Entropy is the CD, and 808. Now, I've done some searches to try to find more information about it. you may be able to find some stuff. I hope you can online. But I can also get these guys in here to talk more about the music, which would be fun. I had Kenny in here a couple times. We got to do that again. You know, really always love that when we do that. And I always love to have my buddy Tiger come in and talk to us. And we're having a live conversation here this evening. The solstice is about to happen. So this is something we gotta spend a few minutes on. Does that sound good if we switch gears a little bit? And I think it'll complement what we were talking about before.
Yeah, and then I've got one major insight to deliver.
Go.
After what we were just talking there.
Tie
in. And we can because I was getting that we were talking about the potential that humans' actions or their inactions lead an observer to think that they're stupid or, you know.
Or not. Not the cosmic intelligence that they are.
And so I was thinking about the whole thing with Obama and how the hype was that we need change that we can believe in, okay? And and I do believe a lot of people have been really disappointed and have felt abused by that, not having more veracity to it, that so many of us were mobilized and voted for that. Probably more like a third party in the sense, really. Mm-hmm. We want a change we can believe in. Well, I just got it. And we've got to find the astrology to support this because I feel it in my soul. Here's the deal. This is what it all amounts to. Be the change you can believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and how empowering that is that if we do that, then we don't need to believe in Barack Obama's anymore, any politician who wants to sell us their story. You know, it's like, I think we're fed up with stories. You know, we want the real deal now. But if you become that yourself, who is going to stop you? You know, how can you be ripped off anymore? And then that hostility and then that anger toward those people gets redirected, and it gets mobilized by your own passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is that that passion grows, and that engagement in becoming what you can believe in becomes more and more part of your life. And I happen to believe that we make a choice, that there's the road digresses once we make a choice to lead a positive life.
Hmm.
You know, and more particularly to choose love rather than fear. And I think
yes.
That's part of what we've got going on here with the Saturn and the Uranus.
Yeah.
Is that there's obviously a polarization mm-hmm. in the country. Now, how are you going to describe what that polarization is in this country or in the whole planet? You know, it's like, I think that it's okay. To say that there are a bunch of people that want to choose love and inclusiveness as opposed to separation and doubt and suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to distinguish myself by taking that left-hand path, you know, taking that path of love. And when I do that, I can't blame politicians anymore for it not happening. Mm. I have to be the change I believe in. I have to become it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then an interesting thing about looking at it that way is that we also, if we're honest, get to see how much extra energy we invest in making other people wrong and holding them accountable for what we don't achieve.
Yeah.
That's a significant amount.
Yeah.
That keeps us tired and, you know, listless and hopeless.
Yes.
Because we're busy blaming.
Yeah. That's right. Well, to me, this ties in an interesting way with events going on in the sky. It seems to me to be correlating with some of these events going on in the sky. Next Monday night, we have a solstice total lunar eclipse. Now, apparently, there hasn't been a solstice total lunar eclipse, it is said, since like 1703. or something, which blows my mind. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that it had been that long. And some of the things we're experiencing now have extremely deep and long resonances, and they're remarkable because they're significant alignments. I mean, and I've talked a lot about different ones, but there's a whole series of very interesting alignments coming up, and I'm going to just kind of briefly describe some of them, and Tiger will give a few bits of input here as well. And really, this stuff stretches out from now until the spring equinox. So it gives us a little bit of a roadmap, too, for some things that we can track. First of all is the lunar eclipse next Monday. And then with that one, let's see. The moon and Saturn. I hadn't noticed this before. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the equinox. Wow, that's true. Okay, sorry to be confusing. With the solstice total lunar eclipse, it's right at the midheaven.
Okay.
When it's exact. So the center of totality, if you're outside when the center of totality hits, which is, you know, right around midnight, for this full moon, it's right around midnight. It's a little after, like 12:15 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're outdoors when this is happening, the moon will be very high. I've got to buzz the door, sorry. Okay, hopefully we got him in with that. So the moon will be directly above us, and we all get to experience that together. And it's amazing, about the only place in the world that won't about the only place in the world that won't see this total lunar eclipse? India. That's the only part of the world that'll be not exposed. But Asia will see it. Europe will see it, like when it's setting. And everybody in North and South America should be able to have a view of the total lunar eclipse. Then, in the very beginning of January, there's going to be a solar eclipse, January 4th. And that happens to be the last exact alignment of Jupiter and Uranus. That's been going on for almost a year. And what's going to happen then is Jupiter's going to speed forward, hit the spring equinox point, and then hit an alignment with Pluto, a square with Pluto. And that square with Jupiter and Pluto happens, I was just looking at this, February 25th. And then by the time the equinox rolls around, the sun will be catching up with Uranus, and Uranus will be at the spring equinox.
Give me one of those, would you?
Sure, like the spring equinox one?
Yeah, give me the spring equinox one.
And look at the moon and Saturn, dead together at spring equinox. Sun and Uranus, moon and Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, isn't that interesting? You were alluding to the Saturn-Uranus opposition.
Yeah.
And although the sun and moon are not opposite to one another, and neither is Saturn and Uranus, there's the moon, the feminine principle with Saturn, and the sun with Uranus. That's pretty amazing. That seems to be a very strong punctuation for the equinox, for 2011 spring equinox.
Then that's that opposition is with Jupiter there. That's pretty tight. So, I think a lot of that, what that indicates is... often the moon has to do with our early conditioning.
Yeah.
So past influences on us, particularly around nurturance and stuff. And then Saturn, which is represents the father, often indicates things from the past that... the power and the authority of that which prevails from the past or carries the past tradition. So, and then when you get up Jupiter and Aries, it's like Captain Kirk getting ready to go down, beam down onto a planet, a new planet to explore. And you've got Mercury in there too, which is interesting. So Jupiter and Mercury conjunct. So you have these brilliant minds that are seeking to go where no man has gone before or no person has gone before. And then you're going to have all this stuff with traditional values and memories of lack and limitation. So and these things are, to say that people like in America are not suffering, I mean, like somebody's... they're maybe 99 weekers or something now have to extend out again because they can't find a job and they're having to live on whatever it is, whatever unemployment is.
Yeah.
That isn't a fun lifestyle.
No.
So, there's got to be some suffering and some emotional chaos with all that. Turmoil at least.
Yeah.
Turmoil. It could turn out to be a positive thing. It could turn out to be that if you get some opportunity and maybe some desire to give some juice to what you need to do,
One of the things that just seems resonant with that is on next Monday night's total lunar eclipse, the moon will be exactly aligned with the north node.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait a minute, is that... No, that's the south node, sorry. The sun is aligned with the north node.
Yeah.
And the moon is aligned with the south node. So it's interesting what you just said, because the moon, again, is connected with the tail of the dragon, the past patterns. Old patterns. So it's interesting that solstice will be... holding that resonance so tightly. But the sun, of course, with Pluto, is with the north node. Sun, Pluto, North Node.
It's because we got to go through this initiation.
Hmm.
We have to go through an initiation. So it's not like, okay, that was the past. What separates the past from the future? It's not, you know, cross a bridge, somebody gives you a ticket, you cross a bridge with a bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to be initiated.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there's a bunch of bare-chested warriors with tomahawks and flaming spears, you know, standing on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to run the gauntlet through them to get to the other side. To matriculate, you got to earn it, you know. So now, if we can disassociate ourselves from the inner goblins that we carry,
mm-hmm.
inner fears and stuff that goes way back, the anxiety stuff of scarcity and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being browbeaten and through 5,000 years of, you know, political despotism, you know, that the soul, the egalitarian spirit's been imprisoned, enslaved.
Yeah.
We're moving into the egalitarian times now. So that spirit's going to wake up and become very restless, you know, be kicking like a mule, kicking the sides of the stall, kicking to get out, you know. So, I think it's a lot to do with how much we're willing to risk. And I think the other thing that's going to be significant is that we're going to have a sign change in the spring
yes.
associated with the equinox.
Yes.
And so we're going to move into cardinal signs. So this drama that's been happening in mutable signs is now going to move into cardinal signs. And it's kind of like, you know, your mom coming in. After, you know, broke up with a girlfriend and you're a little kid, you know, you're a teenager, and she says, "What are you moping around for? Why don't you get up and do something? You know, you're not going to get better just moping and, you know, feeling sad for yourself. Go get up and go play baseball, you know." And that's what we're going to feel like doing when the spring comes. So it's going to be a double spring.
Mm.
It's going to have double spring impact. We're really going to spring. So it's a good idea to start thinking about some of these general issues of empowerment. You know, well, oh, maybe I should think about, you know, taking care of myself and yeah. instead of always, you know, relying on somebody else to do it for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. And it seems like a very appropriate thing to be aware of here at the solstice when we get the shortest day of the year. And we also happen to get this very significant total lunar eclipse that's going to happen next Monday night, to cast our gaze toward the coming of the new light, which is really what the solstice celebration is really all about. So we're about out of time. But I want to say thank you guys for listening. I want to say thank you to Tiger for being here. We only have a couple short minutes left. I got to get some music going. But you have a closing thought?
I got a poem.
Okay.
I better just start reading it because it takes a little while. A new wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
God throws rocks at me. Actually, small pebbles. I don't know much about the misses, but the hits get my attention. At times, pebbles plunk into the pool of my beingness. Yes, right there, in the middle, in the heart. They hit me in the heart and reverberate. The ripples go out from my heart, melting my reserve, collapsing my self-consciousness, mobilizing my vulnerability and feelingfulness. Like a little bird, I have only one reason to exist. My song, whether I sing it out loud or just let it ping-pong inside me, this is how it is when I've been hit by one of God's little stones. Would you recognize this condition if you were around me? I think so. Because it makes me goofy, my world gets turned upside down and maybe right side up. I'm bemused. There's a Cheshire curl to my smile, a suppleness to my presence, and a honeyed invitation in the few words that I utter. I wouldn't hurt a soul, because there is nobody else out there. The bird song is my song, the sun is my blood, keeping me warm. The breeze is my breath, testing my surroundings for fragrances. My eyes are God's eyes, appreciating the beauty that is all around me. And maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there is no outside God throwing pebbles or thunderbolts. Maybe it's just the inside God, the one no different than me, who, like the sunrise, is trying to illuminate my inner landscape with love, beauty, and awareness. In the past, this place was a bitter but illusory battleground, a cemetery for fallen heroes and vicious tyrants. All of it is me, the trauma, the pleasures, the journey. I've been playing a dangerous game of hide and seek, and now the seeking is bringing me home. Every inner sunrise illuminates who I really am. More and more, it's happening. Every pebble blow to the heart is waking up something inside me. There is an effervescence, an inner eruption going on, a slow boil in a pot of liquid love. I'm glad that my glasses are all steamed up. Now I look through different eyes, through the eyes of my heart, where the songs of small birds make front page news.
Thank you, Tiger, and thank you to all of you out there for listening. God bless you. You've been listening to the Vibrational Voyage program on KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. Please stay tuned now for the King Man bringing you some great music for the next couple hours. God bless you. Hey, get out there and watch that eclipse. Get out there and watch the eclipse on Monday night, okay? All right. Be out there with you. And I'll be on Twitter if you want to check that out. Just go to the website, New Consciousness Rising. Thanks. Take care.